Peter tells the Christians, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Tonight's lesson, as we continue our series following through the life of Joseph, is entitled Faithfulness When Tempted. It's looked at a series by Bob Russell, and I made some excellent points. I listened to his lesson and decided to go in a little bit different direction. But Peter is giving us this message to be self-controlled, to be alert. And we can't help but look back at this story in Joseph's life and see similarities around us in the world. See instances that this world has convinced people to give in to the temptations, to give in specifically to the temptation of the flesh. And that faithfulness, whether it be to a marriage or to a family or to people that they work for, that is just sort of tossed out the window, and that really doesn't matter. And selfishness should be the thing that guides you. That's what the world says. I mean, even throughout Scripture, we see men of God, the wisest and the strongest and seemingly the most righteous, seem to fall to this temptation of the flesh. And we think of that wisest of Solomon. He was so wise that he didn't give in to the temptation of the flesh, did he? Well, that's kind of a huge joke for Solomon, because that seemed to be the thing that over and over and over again that seemed to lure him away from being who God needed him to be. Temptation of the flesh and giving into it. The strongest, Samson. The most righteous in David, having a heart, his own heart for God, and yet that temptation of the flesh lured him to not just adultery, but to murder. So tonight, as the King James Version says, take heed lest you fall. That's that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, around verse 12. I mean, you need to prepare yourself. You need to be self-controlled and alert, because Satan is looking to devour you, and he's looking for that moment in which you're not as prepared, when you're not ready. And then temptation is going to come and you're going to fall prey. But before you do, let this night, let this study through Joseph's life inspire you. Let it encourage you. And if you've been struggling with temptation of the flesh, if you've been just really feeling like you've been battling it for a long time, you're not the only one, because Joseph is right there with you. Let him encourage you, let him inspire you, and let this all equip us to be more faithful in our lives, more faithful to God, more faithful in our Christian walk, no matter where we are. Our story of Joseph is found in Genesis chapter 39. If you would turn there, we'll look at this story together. First of all, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his house and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian. Because of Joseph, the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of him, took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He shown him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Joseph is somewhere between the ages of 17 and 30. And the chapters before and after that, after this passage, sort of give us these little bookends. So we're somewhere in between 17 and 30. And so we get this idea that he has spent close to 10 years, if not longer, working for Potiphar, being in this situation, growing up. And we see that Joseph is likable. Others are kind to him. He has such favor with God that he finds favor with other people, the people that he's around. And with that, with his attitude and the type of young man that he is, he works hard and becomes very successful. And God blesses him with opportunities to be successful. And he just continues to do those things, and others continue to look upon him with great favor. So he is very successful. He's very likable, and others are kind to him. Comes to a point where maybe even some, as in Potiphar's wife, look at him with high regard, but as a challenge, maybe as someone who's naive in purity. And we have Potiphar. We have a man who's an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials. He's the captain of the guard. He's the one who's in charge of dealing with people who displease Pharaoh. He's the one who carries out the death sentences. He's the one who, if you cross, your life will be ended. So this is the type of man that Potiphar is, and this is the type of young man that Joseph goes to work for. And we also learn a lot about Potiphar's wife. Someone who has grown up and she pursues something that she wants. And she pursues Joseph relentlessly. Even though his response is no, and he refuses, it seems that she does not take that well. And she continues to pursue Joseph. Doesn't say how long this went on, but it does say in verse 10, and though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. We see Joseph's response through this trial in his life, through this period of time in his life. We see how long temptation is there for him, is put in front of him. And what we need to realize is that there are several things that Joseph doesn't do. And this is really where people in the world get caught, and I think a lot of Christians get caught in their walk of faith. And that's that Joseph doesn't open up the idea in his mind. There's no fantasy here. His time being working for this family, his time wanting to be around be a good servant and be a good employee, be a good slave for Potiphar. In no time in doing that does he entertain the thought of sleeping with Potiphar's wife. It's foreign to him. He's disgusted by the thought of it and seems to be quite surprised when Potiphar's wife brings that up as an idea. All that time, he must have simply thought, she's nice to me, she's kind, she's sweet. And for Joseph, others treated him with kindness. Others treated him with respect, and he was likable, and that's why he had such great success, because of God being with him, God blessing him. You might think his brothers didn't think that well of him, but I think they were just extremely jealous. And they had a lot of wrath, and as it turns out, Potiphar's wife is going to have a great deal of wrath as well. She shocks Joseph. This is not something that he had on his mind, that he had fantasized about, that he had explored in his mind or ever, you know, daydreamed about or anything. He didn't get caught in a fantasy, in something surprising him. He didn't justify his actions. And that is so common in our world today, Christians or not. Justify what we do. Justify even our mistakes. Well, this happened, but this is why I did it, and you can see why, right? We tell ourselves those justifying things, and we lie to ourselves, and that leads us down a path where our own evil desires, what we give into once there's an opportunity put in front of us. Isn't that what James is talking about? Doesn't he talk about that in chapter 1? When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Joseph didn't allow this seduction on her part, her pursuit of him, her unwillingness to listen or to reason with the things that Joseph had to say. He didn't allow any of those things to persuade his desire, to seduce his desire. He had no desire for that. He did not flirt with this. And this is where another thing where we get caught. Joseph doesn't seem to give her long looks, doesn't seem to wink at her, smile at her, lead her on, any of those things. She may be trying to do that with him, and whether it's naive or not, Joseph doesn't seem to give in to any of those things. But today, of the things that we struggle with, those temptations of the flesh, do we struggle with that? Do we struggle with those who are a little too kind? We definitely see that in the world today, where people sort of go out of their way, whether at the gym or the restaurant or at the office, to have these flirtatious relationships that only lead down a path to being enticed, being deceived, and giving in to their own evil desire, their own fantasy. That happens over a lengthy period of time, even as we see here with Joseph and with Potiphar's wife. So we see that Joseph is likable. We see that Potiphar maybe entrusts a little too much, allowing someone to have, you know, free rein to everything in their house. And we see Potiphar's wife, as she has seen this late teenager grow up into a young man who is well built and handsome. And she takes notice of him. And her advances, her flirtatiousness, her winks or her smiles or any of the things that she is trying to do to be subtle with Joseph, it's not getting her anywhere. It's not getting anywhere with Joseph. And so she has to be so bold and so blatant in coming to Joseph and seeking him out and not even seducing him, but just saying, come to bed with me. And his response, he gives a godly response and he defends it. And this is the first thing that we learn from Joseph about faithfulness when tempted. He gives a godly response and he defends it. She says, come to bed with me. But he refused. And then he defends his position and he says, with me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. It's like Joseph has to remind her of who she is. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph gives this perfect response. He gives this godly response.
And he doesn't just say the right words. Sometimes, when Satan lays a trap for us, when temptation is too great, when things happen and they snowball, and then all of a sudden either things are said or things are done, and you know we can't take those things back, and the line of sin has been crossed, and lives are impacted and changed. And we look back on those moments and go, you know, I didn't have the words, I didn't have the right response. I may have known the answer. I may have even said, I know this is wrong. I know I shouldn't be here. I know we shouldn't be doing this. You can even say those things. And you can even know the reason why. But where faithfulness comes in, it's that action. It's not just in saying the right thing, but it's in doing the right thing. And that's where Joseph is such an inspiration, because he's encouraging us to make that stand, to take that position, to refuse when temptation is thrust upon us, when sin is right in our face, to refuse those things, to say no, and to say why. Because it's wrong, and it's wicked, and it's a sin against God. Joseph is putting others before himself. He's not allowing the world around him, society around him, the culture around him to say that it's okay. It's okay to have this fling, or it's okay to have this relationship on the side, or it's okay to be, as long as you're discreet. That's what the world would say. That's what society would say. And even in Egypt, Joseph is setting a different standard. He has a different standard. It's God's standard. And it's something that's not going to be changed. No matter the culture, no matter the society, no matter what the world says, God's standard is not going to change. And that's going to be sinful behavior. It's going to be a sin. It's wicked and wrong, and he hates it. It's like God was living in him at that moment. He's so far from allowing that to have an impact on who he is. But he's not only being selfless in that regard, he's thinking also of his master, of his earthly master, of the loyalty that he shows to Potiphar. He's been given this high place in the house of being able to serve and to work, and he has too much respect, too much loyalty, setting aside his relationship with God. It would be wicked for me to do that to my owner. Can't do that. There's no way I can be a part of that. Joseph gives this godly response, and he defends it. And he's faithful through this temptation. But, like most temptations, doesn't just show up once while you're working. For Joseph, it shows up every day while he's at work. Every day. Day after day. She's there. And it doesn't sound like she takes rejection well, because she continues to pursue him. And we talked about Potiphar's wife already, how she's relentless in this. And she doesn't take no for an answer. And she pursues Joseph.
day after day. And he continues, and she speaks to him day after day. And he refused to go to bed with her. And then, this is the next thing. Faithful through temptation, Joseph distances himself. Whatever he told himself about who she was or of the mistakes that she was trying to make, he didn't want to be anywhere a part of that. Whether he thought she was crazy or whether he thought she was beautiful or unattractive, it didn't matter. All of those things about Potiphar's wife didn't matter. Because Joseph, he needed to do his job. He wanted to be faithful in his work for Potiphar, and he wanted to be faithful to God. So he's going to create distance. He's going to create distance from her, even though he's got to go into the house. He's got to, you know, manage this entire household in the field and inside. You know, all of those who work for Potiphar. But he's going to distance himself, try to stay away from her as much as he can. We don't treat temptation like that. Do we? Do you? Do you distance yourself from temptation? Do you move? Do you get a new job? Do you go to a different gym? Do you stop going to that restaurant? Do you join a new club? Do you do those things? Or do you just justify your current position, your current place? The world, that's what the world will tell you to do. You're fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. You know, nothing will happen. But over a course of time, something's going to change. Something's going to give. In Joseph's response, distancing himself worked for a while until one day he went into the house to attend to his duties and none of the household servants was inside. Uh-oh. Verse 12. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." There comes a point when temptation is lurking and you're making a predetermined decision in your mind about what's going to happen. Whether you've crossed the line or whether you haven't. Whether you've just smiled and have been nice and kind. Whether things have moved past that. But there comes a point where a decision is made, predetermined before something has happened, about what you're going to do when this moment arises. Joseph has been working for Potiphar for a long time. Potiphar's wife has pursued him for a long time. And he's going to have to make a choice about what's going to happen when I come into the house one day and she gets a hold of me. What am I going to do? I'm a slave. I can't just go change jobs. I can't just stop living where I'm living. I can't just, you know, stop going to the gym. I can't, you know, stop going to that university. I can't, you know, stop that club that I'm in. I can't. I'm a slave. What am I going to do? How do I honor Potiphar? How do I honor God when she gets her hands on me? And so he comes up with, probably predetermined, if not instinctual, to run. He left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. He flees. He gives us a pretty good biblical example of what to do when tempted. I mean, is that why Paul
tells the Corinthians they should flee from sexual immorality? Is that why he tells Timothy to flee from the evil desires of his youth? Was Paul's encouragement to stick it out, to hang in there? No. I think it's probably based off of Joseph's response to what he did. That's why Paul is telling others, there's a time and a place to run. And when sexual temptation is knocking on your door, when temptation of the flesh is knocked the door down and is looking at you in the face, run. Run. Turn and run. All too often, that is not our response. We choose not to flee. We choose not to provide or to seek the way that God has provided. Sometimes that place that God has provided is the other direction, and to run out. I mean, that's what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Verse 12, he says, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Take heed lest you fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." In Joseph's case, it was the door behind him that he entered the house through. That's the way out. Sometimes we walk into a mess. Sometimes we walk into something knowing that we liked the smile, we liked flirting, we liked the attention, we liked how that made us feel. And then there's this moment we've known that this shouldn't have happened, and then it's there in our face, and someone has given us too much attention, and they're looking at us, and temptation is right there. And God is giving us a way out. It's behind us. It's to the right. It's to the left. He's giving us a door with an exit sign over it. Get out. Flee. Run. I mean, those signs were there for Solomon. Those signs were there for Samson. Those signs were there for David. Be inspired and be encouraged by Joseph, because he's faithful through the temptation. He gives that godly response and he defends it. He distances himself. And when it's way too close and it's seemingly there's no place to go, "I'm going to leave what I need to leave behind." In this case, he leaves another coat, and he flees. He flees. Too many times we want to stay because that coat was really nice. It was really expensive. It was a really nice neighborhood, or it was a nice job, or it was a really nice gym, or it was a really nice club to be a part of, or it was a really good team to be a part of. Well, Maybe there's things that I need to give up and gladly give up because those temptations are wicked. Those temptations are going to lead me to a sin against God. How am I to think that I'm any different than Solomon or David or Samson? Shouldn't I have this desire in my heart to be faithful even when I'm tempted? Well, you should, and I should. At no point am I or are you going to be beyond that. Be faithful through temptation. Give that godly response. Call it what it is. Call it wicked. Call it sin against God. Distance yourself from it. And when it gets too close,
prepare to leave what needs to be left and run. Don't get caught up in a fantasy. Don't get caught up justifying your actions. Don't get caught up flirting with it. Leave it. And you will be blessed by it. It may not be immediate. It wasn't an immediate blessing for Joseph. He got thrown in prison. It is interesting, though, that the guy who's sort of in charge of killing people for Pharaoh, when he hears about this from his own wife, he doesn't, you know, put the axe towards Joseph. He doesn't. He throws him in prison. His life is spared. He didn't lose his life. It does get bad for a while. This too shall pass. But because he is faithful, he endures that. And he finds favor in the sight of the warden, continues to find favor in the sight of God, continues to be blessed by God. And then, not too much longer, he gets to start a family of his own. Because he's faithful, even through temptation. So it's my prayer for you tonight, and my prayer for myself, for our children, for our young people, that this will be a great story, a great resource of inspiration, of encouragement, of tools to equip us. That when temptation comes into our life, and it's going to, that we respond in the right way, and we respond in a godly way, in a faithful way, and that we are proved faithful through those temptations. If you would like to respond to God's invitation for prayers, to be right with Him, or to put on His Son in baptism, you can come now while we stand and while we sing.